Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. My name's Tim Roberto. I'm a proud team member of the Beachway Therapy Center, and I'm also honored to be doing another podcast for us to bring enlightenment, to bring knowledge, information, and good old-fashioned conversation so people can learn, and hopefully it gets to that one person that needs to hear it. I've been in this field for coming up on 20 years now, and I feel so honored to have the support and my friend of Dave Arenberg, State Attorney General for Palm Beach County. And Dave has done so much to help the treatment industry, Palm Beach County. And with that being said, I'll let Dave take over and let him introduce himself. Dave?
Tim, it's good to be with you. Thank you for having me. And I'm the state attorney for Palm Beach County. The attorney general's up in Tallahassee, but I'm essentially the DA for the county. And as part of our mission, we try to make our community safe. And one way to do it is to rid our county of those rogue, predatory sober homes and drug treatment centers that were taking advantage of people in recovery, people with a brain disease of addiction. And instead of getting them well, they exploited them for their insurance benefits and until these individuals left Palm Beach County in an ambulance or a body bag. So I want to thank you for your good work in working with us to clean up the industry, because we couldn't do it alone. We needed to work with the good guys in the industry. Mm. And you're one of the good guys, Tim. So we are just proud of the accomplishments. And I'm in my 12th and final year as state attorney. And I think Palm Beach County, again, has the best or one of the best treatment center community of any place in the United States.
Mm. Any insight onto why you think that is?
Well, it's because I think you originally had a really thriving drug treatment centers here in the community. But what happened was with the new laws, the Affordable Care Act, and others that were generous benefits to provide behavioral health care for individuals who needed him, then you had predators come down in our community, because that's where the money was to take advantage of people in recovery and just manipulate them so that they have an unending series of relapse rather than recovery. The money was in relapse, not recovery. The money was in failure, not sobriety.
Yeah.
And with the hard work of the Sober Homes Task Force and the good players in the industry and our legislators, and it was just all hands on deck, I think we've cleaned up the industry better than any other community in this country, to where I think we have the most ethical drug treatment industry anywhere.
Dave, I couldn't agree with you more. You did a phenomenal job. And I remember when you started taking action and you got to that point with a lot of other people too, enough was enough, and I'm going to do something about it. And you used your position very well. There was a lot of things that were going on that were unnecessary, and you took care of that. So you've been 12 years. How long have you been in law? How long have you been a lawyer, prosecutor?
I've been a lawyer since 1996. That's when I passed the bar. So it's been a long road. And now, after my 12th year here in this job that I love, it's time to try something new, to start a new chapter. And I'm looking forward to it. You know, I got married. I want to have children. I want to be able to just try something different. I mean, I love this job, but these government jobs are never meant to be forever.
Yep.
And so I'd like to serve the community in a different way.
Yeah. Are you leaning towards any specific area in the community in that different way? I got to be honest. I mean, he's very talented. He's been given a lot of gifts. Harvard graduate, is that correct?
Yeah. I'm very fortunate, but I try to give back to the community, and I have nothing to announce yet, but I'm going perhaps next time I'm on your show, I can tell you what I'll be doing next.
Okay, fair
but,
enough.
But, I've been very fortunate to have opportunities, and I wanted to be able to give back. Mm. And that's why we started the Sober Homes Task Force, was because I saw people who were at the lowest stages of their lives being exploited by predators, by rogue actors in the industry, unscrupulous providers who saw people in recovery as a commodity, not as a human being. And you had so much misinformation out there about the substance use disorder and how to address the problem. Well, it wasn't to stigmatize people. It was to lend a helping hand to help respect them as individuals who are going through a brain disease of addiction, and to try to get them out of the circumstances they're in, because a lot of times they were stuck in these sober homes that kept them into a perpetual state of relapse rather than recovery. And many times, as you know, you have a willing victim because they have substance use disorder. And so when you have someone saying, hey, you live in my house for free and I'll give you drugs to come back after your benefits run out, well, you're going to do that to someone battling addiction, and you're going to expect them to answer in a different way? Of course they're going to succumb to that. So these people were never given a chance. So by shutting down these bad actors, these rogue sober homes, these corrupted drug treatment centers, we've been able to save lives and make a Palm Beach County into the model of what the drug treatment industry should be.
Do you think a lot of these people were in so-called recovery, and the only thing that they weren't doing was getting high, but all the other behaviors were in place, you know, like the greed and the, you know, the shucking and jiving, and like you were talking about, come on back, we'll give you drugs. I mean, is that a fair thing to say? Or
that's an interesting point, because you did see that there was lots of testing, over-testing, because that's where the money was, until the money ran out, and then they went to other ways to try to manipulate the system.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you would assume when they're still living in the sober home or the going through drug treatment, they wouldn't be using, but depends on the provider.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had no regulations forever, and now we have a system of carrots and sticks. Because of federal law, the Americans with Disabilities Act, we can't require mandatory registration, certification, inspections of sober homes, but you can incentivize good behavior by saying, if you are a sober home and you are registered, licensed with FAR, the Florida Association of Recovery Residences, which has a code of conduct standards and inspections.
Yep.
If you get licensed by them, you will be allowed to refer your residents to treatment centers. So there's the carrot.
There you go.
If you're not licensed by FAR, then you can't. And it's a crime if you do refer your patients elsewhere. So, I call them patients, but residents patients.
Yeah, so there's accountability.
Well, yeah, it's a carrots and stick approach, because the federal law doesn't allow us to enact mandatory rules and regulations.
Because it's considered a medical condition. Like, I love the way you say brain disease. I love that, because a lot of people don't understand it like that. And that's such a legit statement. Like,
I've been working in this area for a while, and I've learned that in working in this area for decades now.
Yeah. Is there a certain – I'm curious now that you said that. Is there a certain reason why? Like, I don't know, you know, I'm not trying to get personal or anything. Just is there a certain area or a certain situation that pushed you over there? Or, you know, you are the prosecutor for the county and you saw a need in a certain area. So you went there and you did what you did so well. Like,
I started in this area back in 2000, 2001, when I was a young assistant attorney general working for Bob Butterworth, who was the attorney general of Florida. We were in the Broward office, and he called me into the office. And whenever the boss calls you in, you know it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And he hands me a magazine article about this new drug called OxyContin and how it was causing people to become a dependent, then addicted, and then die. And I was not very knowledgeable about these issues prior to that. Thankfully, I had not dealt with it personally or had an immediate family member had to deal with it. So I went in blind and just read the article. By the end of the article, I was like, oh my gosh, this is corporate malfeasance and professional greed.
Wow.
I mean, this is what's causing. You got this company called Purdue Pharma that was flooding the market in Appalachia with these drugs that they sold as Advil, and instead it was a Schedule II narcotic. They were giving out stuffed animals with OxyContin T-shirts on it. They were giving out swing music CDs to seniors, swing in the right direction, with OxyContin. They were marketing it like it was a pain reliever, over-the-counter, non-addictive, and yet it was the opposite. It was very addictive.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And so, I saw how, because of corporate greed and malfeasance, that you had all these individuals who are just going into their doctor's office because they had a sports injury or a workplace injury, given OxyContin, and the next thing you know, they're addicted, and then they die of an overdose. Whose fault is that? Are you going to blame that on the person with the brain disease of addiction or the person who sold these drugs? A drug dealer wearing white coats, a pharmaceutical executive who's making cash over someone's misery. So that's why I did what I did.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any particular case that you can speak about, you know, within reason that you're really proud of, like something that, that you're going to kind of go out and that would be part of your legacy?
Well, back in 2001, I was one of the first in the country to investigate Purdue Pharma for its marketing practices. Right. And it was, we ended up, you know, I left to go and get elected to the state Senate in 2002. So after I left, the state settled. And, you know, I think that was a bit of a missed opportunity. I think that the settlement terms, they did what they could do, but, you know, Purdue Pharma was a mess and, and needed to be held accountable. And I think perhaps if we had a stronger settlement, we could have hopefully saved some lives. But, you know, it's hard to Monday morning quarterback it. I wasn't in the office when the settlement occurred. But when I watched Dope Sick, which was really powerful, it reminded me of everything I went through. I was there on the ground floor doing that at the state level, not the federal level. And as far as when I became state attorney, we focused on a different part of the opioid epidemic, not the pill mills, which we had shut down when I was a state. I worked for the attorney general's office. Yeah. But then this was the corrupted rehabs, the treatment centers. Mm. So as far as any one case, I mean, we were involved with a lot of cases. We were involved with the federal case to stop Kenny Chapman and his rehab brothel. I mean, a sober home that was turned into a human trafficking operation, a house of horrors.
Yep.
But then we've had 121 arrests since October 2016, 111 convictions, and more to come. So I just think all those cases, shutting down the bad players, closing their doors, freeing people from being exploited because of their brain disease. So and I take a lot of satisfaction in that.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm very grateful for that because as a fellow who suffered like those people and been given this tremendous gift because of people like you on the front lines and wanting to make a difference. Because I believe, you know, recovery's from addiction's 100% obtainable. It just is. Like, I think with the disease, physically, I kind of have that allergy until the day I take my last breath. You know, I can't use because it just triggers something in me. To keep it simple, it's kind of like more. You know, but I can change my thinking. And I think Florida is an incredible place, you know, to do that, to have that opportunity. You know, we have the weather, we have, because, you know, you can't stay in treatment forever.
Mm-hmm.
And after you discharge, the community is phenomenal. And we have an incredible recovery community in South Florida. There's places to go for help all over the place. There's clubhouses, you know, 12-step clubhouses and all that. And to have your contribution to that, I think you've brought back around the stability of so many things. But for people like us in the treatment center, you know, you've stabilized it again. Because Florida was the place to go. Because we had everything here. We had beautiful weather. We had beautiful environments. We got beautiful communities. We had wonderful people like you serving the communities. You can't get any better than this area, sort of, you know, to get well.
I love South Florida. I'm born and raised here. And my favorite place to live is Palm Beach County. I've been honored to be here. I moved up from Miami in about 2000 and then been here ever since. And
hey, that makes me think, when you were going through law school, was that one of your goals, was to practice here? Like, I know I'm going to Palm Beach. Like,
oh, I didn't know. I just knew I wanted to one day serve in the legislature and be a policymaker, you know, go into public service. So I found my way to the attorney general's office, and I loved it. I was making very little back then, getting my hair cut at Walmart and washing my own car. But it was well worth it because I loved my job. I loved every minute of it.
And it shows. You know, every time you and I get together, I feel like I'm just there on the side. Because everybody's like, oh, hey, Dave. Hey, Dave. How's it going, Dave? Hi, David. And, but that's so amazing for me. Compared to where I came from.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful to the warriors like yourself, you know, and I've had other warriors in my life that really made huge contributions. And to see somebody like you do what you did for us is, you know, it's just, I don't even really know how to explain it. Like, how do you explain that to somebody? It's just, it was wonderful what you did and how you served.
Well, you should expect it from your elected officials. They're supposed to serve not serve themselves. So I think we have some good elected officials here in Palm Beach County.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, the negative stuff sells more. That's the one that spreads more. You know, you don't see many you know, breaking news about good deeds. It's usually about, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, it's a murder of mayhem. Mm. So I just think there's a real success story to be told in our community. The decrease in opioid overdose deaths, especially compared to the state figures. I think a lot of that has to do with the Sober Homes Task Force, but also about the fact that we're taking a holistic approach, which involves prevention, making sure there's Narcan in the hands, not just of first responders, but of people in at-risk communities who know people who are dealing with substance use disorder. They should be able to have Narcan at the ready. We had, and you know, hopefully we can make it better, the addiction stabilization unit in JFK North, where instead of just finding someone who overdoses and then pumping them full of drugs and releasing them onto the streets to overdose again and again and again, we try to break that cycle of addiction by giving them, you know, the buprenorphine or Vivitrol or, you know, any of the drugs that can help them stop using. And that is something that is innovative and it's working.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things besides incarceration I think that's helped.
Well, anything to interrupt the cycle, right? Anything to interrupt that process, you know, and incarceration, for me, I don't think it's treatment.
Sometimes it's the only place. You know, the largest mental health provider in the county is the jail.
Yeah. Well, I guess for a mom or a dad that's hearing this now, and you might be questioning yourself, why did I do what I did and or whatever, and your son or your daughter is in jail, at least they're safe.
Right.
And they're not on the street, so.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've known families who have made that tough decision.
I bet.
The ones that I've spoken to, they don't regret it. They're upset about it. It hurts them. They have to think that they had to do it, but they realize it was a last resort.
Yeah.
It was something where otherwise they thought they would lose their child forever.
Correct. Correct. I mean, it just gets to a point like, I mean, who would know what to do with this?
Yeah.
You know, you have a baby, like you said, I want to get married. I'm married. I want to have children. You know, there's not a parent out there that gets a book on the day of the birth and says, oh, by the way, at 17, just go to page, you know, 45. If they're using, and we'll just tell you, you know, it's a very difficult thing, and there's emotions tied to it, and sometimes the parents can be just as sick as the addict because the addiction makes everybody sick. You
exactly,
know? It's not a sport. It's not a spectator sport, right? Everybody gets to play. So
that's a good way to put it. It's not a spectator sport.
It's not.
You know, you get involved.
Yeah.
So people will do more research when they buy a TV than when they find the treatment center for their child, for their loved one. Instead, they'll just rely on a Google ad or what comes up when you just type in addiction recovery near me.
Yeah.
For a while, Google would sell those keywords to the highest bidder, and then you'd have, oh, near you, yes, here it is, Heavenly Valley Recovery in Delray Beach, even though someone is typing that in Seattle. That wasn't near you, and where you're going is not heavenly. And there are no valleys, by the way, in Delray Beach.
Mm.
Although Delray Beach is a beautiful place, but generally, if you're a scammer and you're sending people to a shady rehab in Delray, it's not heavenly.
And that's great that you brought that up, because I was going to go there when I had the moment. And now I got the moment because I wanted to, you know, I don't know, and we're not responsible for that, you know, where this podcast goes or who needs to see it or hear it, you know. So if there is a mother or father or a decision maker that needs to make that decision for somebody who's struggling for some mental health, Sud, what would you suggest that somebody, you know, briefly or whatever, what would you suggest they look for and confirm that this treatment center has that in place?
Well, first, if you want a quality sober home, there are at least two options. First, you can find one that's part of the Florida Association of Recovery Residences, FAR. Other states have their own branches. It's under NAR, the National Association of Recovery Residences.
Yep.
That's a good housekeeping seal of approval. And then, or you can go to Oxford Houses. Oxford Houses have their own unique system of sober homes. They're run by the individuals themselves in a democratic process, and
correct,
it works.
But they're also under the umbrella of DCF now, too, right? Aren't they under DCF, or they get DCF funding or something?
Well, they could be getting funding, but as far as regulation, there's no set regulation because they don't need it. There's no fraud,
gotcha,
as far as we know, in Oxford House. In fact, I just spoke to the Oxford House World Convention in Orlando, and it's really inspiring to see all thousands of people who are just there just living their best life now and you know, made it through, saw hell and back. So I think that's my advice if you're looking for a sober home. If you're looking for a drug treatment center, they're going to be licensed by the states, and that is something. But you also want to check out the associations out there. NAATP, for example. Mm. National Association –
Treatment Providers.
Treatment Providers. There's another A, and I'm blanking out right now.
Yeah, it's okay. There's so many acronyms.
Yeah, but that's Marv Ventrell's group, and they do a great job. Yeah. And he's turned down a lot of money from treatment providers who don't pass the smell test. And so,
what about LegitScript?
Well, LegitScript is used as a way to vet the treatment centers that are advertising on Google. That's what Google uses. But as far as to make sure that their quality, I mean, I like NAATP.
Yeah. How about the Joint Commission?
Yeah.
Joint Commission.
That's something. That's something. Right? Yeah. I mean,
the Gold
all
Seal.
That stuff. Yeah. All that
CARF
stuff.
CARF accredited, right?
CARF. Yeah. The ones I like. Like, for example, there's also the Jamie Daniels Foundation up in Michigan who they've done a lot in promoting quality treatment centers because Jamie Daniels was the son of Ken Daniels, who's the legendary Detroit Red Wings broadcaster. He got in the throes of addiction, was sent down to Florida in the Florida Shuffle, and ended up dead. And his family started this foundation, and it's really they've done a lot of great work. And so just something to check out their website. But there are groups out there that are trying to pay it forward. And just do more research than you would if you were buying a major appliance for your home.
Yeah, I love that. It just makes so much sense. That's one of those things that resonates with me. Do your research. Talk to people, and you'll probably thank yourself later at a later point in time. So 12 years. What's next?
What's next?
What's the legacy?
I have nothing to announce yet, but I'm working on that. I want to try the private sector, and also I want to go into to do more of the media I've been doing. I have a YouTube channel called True Crime MTN. Please check it out. And subscribe.
Yeah.
True Crime broadcast we do about some of the hottest true crime cases. I also contribute to the Midas Touch Network. I've been doing Morning Joe and other shows as legal analysis. I hope to do more of that.
Like MSNBC, CNN.
Yeah, yeah. I even go on Megyn Kelly's show. If there's anyone listening who's a Republican,
I don't know. Are you Megyn Kelly?
Well, yeah, I go on her show. But, you know, she asked me on to provide a counter perspective in a polite way. but I like to do that. Also, I'm working hard to try to get Alexia Cox elected as state attorney. She's my choice. She's by far the most qualified candidate. If there's anyone out there in Palm Beach County who hasn't voted yet, just check out the down ticket races and you'll see Alexia Cox for state attorney.
Right? Research.
Yeah, she's an 18-year prosecutor. She has been a leader in the office, and that means a lot. She'll be ready to take over on day one. Yep. Same priorities, same values.
Yep.
Whereas her opponent is spending $1.5 million in just nasty, misleading attack ads based on lies and misinformation. Uh-huh. So I'm encouraging people to vote for Alexia Cox for state attorney.
Okay. Well, there's the official endorsement, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, I want to make sure that office continues to run smoothly. I love that office, and I love the people of that office and the people of our community. And I don't want to see that office become politicized.
Yeah. Was there like a certain, like in other things, right? You get like that feeling like, okay, it's time to kind of, I would call it like the spirit of rotation. Did you just get to that point?
Yeah.
You thought after 12 years, it's time to.
Yeah. Spirit of Radio. That's my favorite song of all time by Rush.
Rush.
That's the best.
2112.
Oh my gosh. Is there anything better than that? I mean, come on. Right.
I mean, that would be a whole nother podcast.
We could do a whole nother podcast.
Easy
peasy.
Oh, my God.
The Temples of Syrinx.
Red Barchetta.
Well, Red Barchetta is brilliant. That's from Moving Pictures.
Yeah.
But yes. I mean, I'm a huge Rush fan. In fact, I named my dog Getty after Getty Lee. Yeah, he's at the office right now wearing a costume for Halloween.
Okay.
But as far as next steps, I'm excited to start something new.
How will we find out about your new chapter when it becomes official? By checking out, like your YouTube channel.
Yeah, I'll announce it.
And you're you're out there, you're out and about. You're a community. You know, you've always been such a team player. So I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I'd like to be transparent. So we'll just haven't locked things down yet. I'm working on it. My focus right now is the election.
Yep.
And making sure I continue to do the job that the people put me there for.
So, amen. And you're going to do it right to December 31st, aren't you?
January 6th my last day. Yeah, yeah. And then hopefully it'll be Alexia. And, you know, regardless of, you know, I'll always be involved in the community and I'll always try to be there for people who needs a helping hand, who wants someone to have their back.
Yep.
This has been an amazing community, an amazing job, and I appreciate you having me on, Tim.
Yeah, thanks. Is there a way that they can get in touch with you if it does land on somebody's screen, and they're like, I really like what he had to say, and I have, how to, like, is there a way to get?
I'm on all the social media sites. I've got.
And you answer
Facebook
it
page.
All right? Somebody message you?
I do my best. Instagram is good. Dave Ehrenberg on Instagram. I'm Ehrenberg on Twitter. I'm not going to call it by the other name.
Yeah.
I'm Dave Ehrenberg on Threads. I'm on YouTube, as I said, as the Florida Lawman, True Crime MTN. Crime MTN.
Awesome.
And on Facebook, it's Dave Ehrenberg. I've got a page. So please follow me. Leave a comment.
Yep.
I love reading nice comments, even if they're not so nice.
as long as they're
you know, polite, I'll respond to them.
Yeah.
Well, if it's a troll, I just delete it. No skin off my nose.
Yeah. But if they do get you, there's nobody that can debate like you. I don't think. I think you're probably a phenomenal debater.
Well, I don't know about that, but thank you. I like to have respectful conversations.
Adult.
And disagreements are fine. I encourage that on my pages, on my YouTube channel, even on my personal Facebook page. If I disagree, it's fine. But sometimes people in this day and age, the political culture we live in, just start shouting and use bad language and just go with the personal attacks. I lost a friend because when we were debating something, and then I had disagreed with the attorney general on something, and this person said, well, I can't disagree because she's my boss.
Mm.
And I said, no. The benefit of being state attorney is that the governor, the attorney general, they're not our bosses.
Mm.
The people are our bosses.
Mm.
We're independently elected. And as long as the people vote for us, we stay there. And I'm, though, taking myself out after 12 years to give someone else a chance to do it. And that's a good thing.
Yep.
New ideas, new leadership. And I'm excited at the future and what it has to offer.
Yeah. Well, that's going to wrap up this podcast, this episode. Hopefully, Dave and I brought you something that you heard, even if you had to leave the rest. The goal for this podcast and what we do here is to just give somebody one thing to grab that might influence them to make a good decision for them and to include to improve the quality of their life. So if you have any questions about Palm Beach County, or if you want to send anything to Dave that you feel would be something important that he could handle, please do. If there's anything that you need from me on another end of this conversation, you can reach out to me too. It's Tim Roberto, and I'm all over on social media too. So thank you so much for stopping by. I hope Dave and I brought you something that will improve the quality of your life. Till the next time, peace and love.